when Alexander saw the breadth of his domain, he wept, for there were no more worlds to conquer.
Now, Alex Brown.
Alex Brown, you see him, number 96.
Nine-year NFL veteran.
This is how they win.
And Bear for Life.
Their defense does everything for them.
Joins Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap'n Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With Jesse Rogers in for Cap, I'm Jonathan Hood. Open phone lines for you here on this Bears Monday, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. The Bears, they lose to the Atlanta Falcons by a score of 27-24. Here's our favorite Gator. Here's our favorite Bear. It is ESPN 1000 Zone, Alex Brown. He's with us here on Cap'n Jay Hood. Good morning, Alex. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, well, you know how we're doing. Don't ask, man. We lost another game. The Bears are 3-8. So let's start with the defense, as we always do, Alex. What concerned you most about the Bears' defense against Mariota, who walked out of there with his uniform nice and clean?
Yeah, I mean, no pressure on the quarterback. That's probably the one thing. When he's sitting in the pocket and it's third and six or more and we're not getting close to him, that kind of concerns me. When we run a blitz and we're not in position to do our job, that concerns me, because that's something that the coaches have to make sure these young kids understand, that if you're not in position to do your job or close enough so you can get your job done, then the hell with disguising, right? Like, you can't disguise it if you can't go do your job after you're done disguising. And we got safeties blitzing from 10 yards away when the ball snapped. Well, you're never going to get home. You're not going to get there. So, in the offensive line, it's NFL. They can pass it off. They can, if you give them that much time, they have enough time to pass it off and pick you up. And now the quarterback has a clean pocket to eat secondary up. So, yeah, this is some concerning things yesterday. And then the fact that we gave up 20 points, which is, weirdly, this is better than what we have been seeing the past 3 weeks or so.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but it was against a pretty inept offense in the Atlanta Falcons. So, yeah, there's some concerns, but still, I mean, we're still lacking talent on that side. With this type of defensive scheme, it is about talent. It's not about scheme or scheming people. You're going to run when they're good. They're going to run four or five defenses, and they're just going to beat the hell out of people. So you need the talent.
Yeah, I like that. It's one thing to disguise your defense, but if you don't execute afterwards, what's the difference? How about stopping the run? Atlanta averaged 4.5 a carry, and that's including Mariota, who averaged 1.9. So their running backs did the job. Poor scheme, poor tackling. How did you see it in terms of stopping the run?
Oh, pretty much everything you just said.
Yeah,
I mean, we're talking about a gap defense. So when you go in, there's no hiding from it. There's no hiding from who made the mistake or whose job was not being done by whom. And that's the beauty of a gap defense. There's no gray area. The past few years, what you've been able to do is you're looking at offensive linemen, or I'm sorry, you're looking at the defensive linemen, and they're doing a gap and a half. And you got linebackers that are rocking back to rocking back from the B gap to the A gap, and you got all this stuff going on and all these gray areas. Well, now it's just, well, you have the B gap. What is the defense? You have the C gap, and we see who's not doing their job. But when you get two guys in one gap, now you got a guy. Now you got the running back running through a clean hole. So that's, running backs are like water. They're gonna find that open slide. If you have 11 guys on the field and they're all doing their job, you have a chance. Now, we're going to do this for the rest of the year because we're not going to get more talent in there, and they're still learning this defense. So we're going to continue to do this, but going into next year, I expect to see a hell of a lot of improvement from what I'm seeing right now.
Alex, do you believe in deja vu?
Sometimes.
Covering this Bears team, you should be feeling like deja vu, because the last three games we've seen kind of the same thing. You know, the game is on the line and the Bears fall short offensively. So Jesse and I have been talking about this. I mean, we saw this last weekend. We saw it yesterday. The idea that you have 2 minutes left, an opportunity to win the ball game. And whether it is Justin trying to be a pocket passer or him trying to run yesterday, it's not working out. What did you see late in the game offensively for the Bears?
Well, offensively, I think Luke Getsy, they're going to have to take another step here, because what people are doing, defensive coordinators are doing, especially when the game is on the line, they're making sure that their defensive ends or their outside linebackers that are rushing, they're making sure they have contained rushes. Which means they're going to make sure they keep Justin in the pocket. They're not going to allow him to get outside. They're not going to allow him to use what I believe is his best ability right now, and that's using his feet and getting outside the pocket and finding guys or running, finding guys down the field or running. So late in the game, that is when, well, we want to see it. We want to see Justin Fields take us down and put us in position to win a football game. I was hoping for that scenario. I got it. Unfortunately, he got hurt the first play of that drive. So the rest of it was like, eh. I mean, I really can't put that on him if he's out to hurt. I'm hoping that it's not anything that's going to linger or keep him out for any amount of time. So, but the coaches have to understand that they have to get better too, because I'm telling you, I don't know if that's my first play call. Sweep left with my quarterback when we're in a 2 minute drill.
Certainly not your second play call, you know? Yeah. Maybe your first, correct. But definitely not your second up the middle, too.
Right.
Correct. Like, it's just, like, let's do some things to get chunk yardage. And I think we tried it once and we missed Mooney down the field, corner fail. Gosh, that was a play that we should have had, but I would have liked to see more. What I want to see, I want to see more Claypool. I mean, what's the use in having 6'4", 230 that can run 4.3 if you're not pushing the ball down the field and trying to get the ball to him?
I don't understand that. Yeah, those are great points. I don't know if you saw the end of the Raiders game in overtime. Like, I mean, this is the Raiders who stink, but they got they got chunk yardage. They opened it up. They got guys down the field, and they scored in overtime to win it. Here, the Bears just need to get a few yards to get, you know, 30, 40 yards to get into field goal range. And it was I don't know what they were playing for, but it was a very weird end of the game. I want to ask you about the cramping. Jim Miller said on one of the postgame shows that when you do play indoors, it can feel like a sauna as the game goes along. Is that something you've experienced? Compare playing indoors like that to, I don't know, playing outdoors in Miami. Is it a similar kind of humid feeling? What's that like?
Yeah, I don't really want to sit up here and just tell. I don't know how gym bodies feel. Okay. I don't know how gym body felt.
Sure.
My body was fine.
Okay.
I mean, you hydrate, you do what you're supposed to do. Everybody's playing in. If it's a sauna, everybody's playing in that sauna. If we're playing on grass, everybody's playing on grass. But if we're playing on concrete, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's in the same thing. So you have to do what you're supposed to be doing, and that's hydrating your body, making sure that you're getting into that cold tub, you're taking care of the little things, so when you call on those hamstrings, hey, let's ride, they're ready to go. So Justin's just going to have to learn that. He's going to have to learn. This season right here is longer than any season that he has been the guy. So he started a little bit last year, but he is starting every game, and we are asking for him to do a lot right now. And we're, what, just over halfway done?
Yeah.
Like, we still got some more games here.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be long. And then when you get to the playoffs, I mean, it just makes it even longer. So he has to learn his body. And he has to understand that this is what I have to do to get ready for each and every game, regardless of where the game's being played. I played down at the Saints. I'm from Florida. I've never been at a hotter nastier, like, weather place in the summer.
Right.
Louisiana was insane. But you find a way to do it because you take care of your body. You make sure you're putting the right stuff in your body. So when you call on it, it's ready to go. So, no, I don't agree with what Jim's saying. I just think that, I mean, Justin has to learn his body. He's got to continue to evolve and sure. mature into a professional athlete.
Former New Orleans Saint Alex Brown with us here on a Bears Monday on ESPN 1000 at the ESPN Chicago app. Alex, so Jesse and I have been kicking around this question about Justin Fields. And I know that from a player standpoint, players want to play. You're 3-8, mm-hmm. but you still want to play because this is why you work out. This is why you practice. You want to be able to get a victory, no matter what the Bears want upstairs. Talking about Eberflus and Poles and those guys looking for a draft pick. The players want to win. But in the best interest of Justin Fields, if that shoulder is not 100%, and if he's got sore legs, should he play against the Jets Sunday?
Sore legs, yes. Shoulder, no. Mm-mm. No, not if his shoulder hurts. If he's actually hurt and that shoulder is bothering him, then I wouldn't play. Now, if your legs are sore or he has general soreness, well, yeah, hell yeah, he's going to play. Like, everybody has general soreness right now. Everybody's hurt. Nobody is 100% at this point in time during the season. So it's a learning period for him, for everyone on that team. And what you want to find out right now is which guys want to play football. Yeah, you're 3-8. I want to know who wants to play football, who loves this game, regardless of what the score is, regardless of what the record is. I want to know who's going to go out and continue to give me or do their job and give me 100% every single week, regardless of what is happening around us. I want to make sure that I feel the team with that. And then I have a chance to win because now I have some competitive guys that it does not matter what the score is. It does not matter what our record is. It doesn't matter to them. They love football. They're going to play. I'm playing them. If his shoulder is ready, if he's not ready, now I'm not going to say 100% because he's not going to be 100% until May. Okay.
Yeah.
But like if he can go, then absolutely I'm going to play him as long as I can see him practice during the week. If he's not practicing and he doesn't get out there until let's say Friday, then no, I'm not playing him. I'll wait until the next week, but I'm looking for him to come back and continue growing as this season continues.
Well said. I agree with you, Alex.
Thank you.
There's one guy. There's one. Alex Brown. I'm not supposed to agree with him. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you, Alex. We appreciate it.
Not a problem. I appreciate it. And thank you guys so much for taking it easy on my Gators. We lost to the Commodores. It wasn't a very good weekend for me.
Wait, hold on a second.
I appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
Don't you hang up. That's a shameful loss against the Commodores. It wasn't even Lionel Richie out there and y'all lost. That's a shame.
I'm sorry, my phone. I got AT&T. My phone's breaking
up.
You
know what?
I'm sorry.
Get out of here. You get out of here then. Alex Brown with us here on Cap and J-Hood. Well, there you have it, Jesse. His sad Florida Gators losing to Vanderbilt. Just a horrible loss for his team.
That is bad. If you're playing football and you lose to Vanderbilt, it's bad. I don't care what college you are, especially if it's a Florida team.
All right, we'll get back to your phone calls on the Bears. Jesse and I want to find out from you your thoughts about the Bears and their loss against Atlanta. And our big overarching question this morning is if Justin Fields' shoulder is not 100%, if he's going through some issues with that shoulder in which he hurt it yesterday, should he play moving forward? Should it be shut down for the rest of the season? Let's get your thoughts here about this 3-8 ball club. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Cap'n Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
Cap'n Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Welcome to Atlanta Sightseeing. Please take your seat and keep your hands and feet inside the railing at all times.
Play action. Mariota drifting. Mariota with a flag down, throws for a touchdown to Drake London, and we'll see what the flag is. He'll throw to the end zone. He's got a wide open man and a touchdown to Darnell Mooney. Fields over the middle. Cole Kmet, one hand block. What a catch by Kmet.
Who is this guy?
Patterson stays on his feet for a first down. Ball comes out and the Bears have it. Jalen Johnson picks it up.
We'll continue to ride the wave of Justin Fields, but to some wins. He's got the ball with blockers ahead, and he's got a touchdown. Untouched into the end zone.
Falco here. I'm fine.
Cordero Patterson has a seam. Patterson splits it. Goodbye.
Cordero Patterson, the ninth time in his NFL career. A house call on a kick.
Enemy group behind us. Man, they're fast.
Mariota's got it with room. Marcus Mariota's in. Falcons take the lead.
Montgomery
found room and found the end zone. Patient running and a touchdown makes it a one-point game. From 53 for the lead, Young Wei Koo has done it again in the clutch.
Here we go again.
On third down, given time. Too tall and Jalen Hawkins. Interception.
That's right. That's right. We're bad. That's right.
Bears lose to the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. Welcome in to the Captain J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We're with you till 10 o'clock, then Greeny from 10 to noon. It'll be Carmen Yurko from noon to 2, Waddle and Sylvie from 2 to 6, Bleck and Abdallah from 6 to 8. Right into Freddie and Fitzsimmons at 8, all part of the mix right here on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. Indeed, you heard there on Fox, the Bears lose to Atlanta. And by the way, Jesse, you know we have a fine system in place from berniesbookbank.org. Mm-hmm. That's where the money goes. I'm going to ask you to put $1 in the great cup right there for that last read that you did.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Pre-reads usually help, and that didn't happen in this case.
Did you throw it away, or is it in front of you?
No, it's in front of me.
Okay, could you read again?
Do you want me to read it the right way?
No, just at the top. Could you just tell people?
pick and choose which offerings to highlight from the list below, and feel free to include anything else you may have watched instead.
So I'm going to need you to put a dollar in the till.
Let me get it out.
Okay,
I only got hundreds, but okay.
Oh, well, we understand that, but you're going to have to, brutal.
Why is this thing filled just because of cap alone, this cup? I'm putting it in, by the way.
It is mostly cap.
Shea, witness, I'm putting it in.
So it's are you a witness? Did you see him put it in?
Yep, I did. You did a good job.
Okay, so, no, that's mostly cap. It's all cap.
Yeah, I figured as much.
So we're talking to you about the Bears on this Bears Monday, 312-332-ESPN. You know something Alex Brown said, and if you missed it, you can go back to the archives of Captain J Hood. Once it's posted, you can check out Alex, who's with us every Monday at 9 o'clock right here on Captain J Hood. He mentioned Claypool. So I see here from Adam Hogue, the wide receiver snap counts. Darnell Mooney, 81%. He had 56. St. Brown at 50. Claypool with 29. Pettis, Pringle, and Jones bring up the rear. So why did you make this big deal for Claypool in a season in which you're tanking if you're not going to use Claypool?
Yeah, I have no use for Pringle. I think that's been the question the last few weeks, right? And they started to answer it last week. Didn't really get there this week with him either. I don't know. But the entire passing game is kind of goofy. I mean, Komet's come on these last few weeks a little bit. Mooney scored, but there's nothing consistent about, you know, what was it, 13 to 21 for 153? Mm-hmm. And Claypool is just part of that, right?
He is still learning. I want to just get this in. He's still learning the offense, obviously, new acquisition. Sure. His snap count was up.
He was up
42% of the snaps yesterday. So he's getting more involved. Still only 3 targets, but it takes time to work in a new receiver.
Well, let's not confuse activity with accomplishment. Those numbers look
good.
I just need him to make – well, you know what? It may not be tomorrow, but I'd like for him, while he's on the football team, to do something to make sure that he can be a guy. Like third receiver when the team's good, right, Shea? Like a third receiver?
Yeah, I think high-end for him would be wide receiver 2 if you really struck gold. But wide receiver 3 maybe if Mooney's your 2 and you find a 1 somewhere – that's not a terrible receiving core if that's what it ends up being.
Yeah, it's okay. 312-332-3776 is the number. You want to go back to the phone lines, Jay Hood?
Sure.
They are jammed. Berlissimo from London. He's calling from London. What's up, Berlissimo?
I used to live in London. I moved away about 6-7 years ago, but Cap never remembers, no, neither does anyone else. Belated happy birthday to Cap as well, by the way.
Yes.
The Bears, generally speaking, my biggest concerns are two things. One, we haven't had a consistent offensive line at all year. We've either had changes at guard, at centre, at right tackle, and now right guard, with Tevi Jenkins being out. That is not conducive to the run game, it's not conducive to pass blocking, and we saw it time and time again. We keep seeing it, that they're sort of keeping people in there to chip, release, etc., 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 because pass blocking and run blocking, this now that O'Brien's out and Tevi Jenkins is out, the run blocking has gone off a cliff as well, which is why we've had to rely so heavily on Justin Fields. Justin can't stay healthy if someone out there blocking for him other than the wide receivers, and that seems to be the case.
Did we lose you?
We lost George.
Oh, we got the song, though.
Yeah, but we do have God Save the Queen at 3:27 in London with a number one afternoon show in London, the Cap and Jay Hood show. But I think he makes a good point.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys that actually thinks the line's not as bad as everyone's saying. I'm not saying it's great. I just think it's a little bit better.
You're out of your mind.
I probably am.
Well, let me ask you, what kind of TV are you watching? Would you tell me the offensive line's not that bad?
I'm saying better than people think, but still bad. I don't know. It's splitting hairs.
All right, Jesse. Wait, hold on. You make this big declarative statement. Tell me the positives on this offensive line. Go ahead. Give me a few minutes on that.
I mean, when you rush for as many yards as they've rushed for in the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, That matters. That means something. I mean, you have to block someone for Fields to get down. It's not all him, right? Yeah, the wide receivers have done some good blocking, but that, I guess that doesn't help the line. I feel at times that the pass blocking's been okay, and Fields has held onto the ball too long. I gave you that example, that 3rd and 15. Everyone's going to look at the line, but it was a screenplay, and they were supposed to release. You could see it. And he was supposed to get to Ebner, and he didn't do it. And he held on to it, and he got sacked. Makes the line look worse than it is. It's bad, but here's the other thing. Great quarterbacks make people around them better. They make wide receivers better. They make linemen better. We haven't necessarily seen that out of Justin Fields either.
Well, I mean, I would just say this, that if it's anything, the pass blocking from this offensive line sucks. It's bad.
Most of the time, I agree. Most of the time. I'm just saying I feel like it's getting even more criticism than it deserves. But again, we're splitting hairs. I agree. It's not great. It's not great. There are moments yesterday where he had time or he made time with his legs. But he's also got to make them look good, too, with his ability to get rid of the ball quicker.
All right, 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Jesse and I will take more of your phone calls coming up. Also, in our next half hour, you'll hear from Matt Eberflus, the head coach for the Bears, as he explains what happened with that 2-minute drill. And also, what are your goals if you're Matt Eberflus? What are you trying to accomplish? We'll hear from the coach and take more of your phone calls next on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
Cap and Jay Hood mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app with Jesse Rogers in for Cap. I'm Jonathan Hood. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. That's where you can watch our show and all the shows all day here on a Bears Monday. And we're getting your thoughts about the Bears and their loss against Atlanta and asking about Justin Fields as well. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. We're going to hear from Matt Eberflus in just a moment, but I know, Jess, we got some phone calls to get to.
Yeah, Paulie in Lake Forest is next up. You're on ESPN 1000, Paulie.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Great show.
Thank you. Talking to me.
Everybody realizes the experiment. I hope it's over. We have one of the top receivers in the league. He's playing quarterback for us. He's a bad decision maker, and he's inaccurate. You want to epitomize how he plays QB was that to the game. Got
no,
wide
no,
open,
no. I'm going to interrupt you, Paulie. It's the last seconds of the game. He's hurting. You're trying something desperate. You want to talk about his throw? How about the throw to Montgomery down the sideline? How about the throw
once
to
again? You're gonna bring up his two or three or four good throws. Go back over the game, man.
And you're gonna pick that. You're gonna pick the stress time while he's hurting on third and long.
No, I'm not. And other times during the game, too, when he's got open receivers and he throws it low and the guy's got to catch it on his knees and he can't advance. Even the touchdown, the guy's wide open. He had to make a circus catch on it, right? I mean, the guy's inaccurate. He's a bad decision maker. He's one of the best athletes in the league. Get him the ball on these two-yard passes that now is the NFL game in front of the line or the two-yard pass behind the line and let the kid run. He's one of the greatest athletes in at a QB. He's not. You know what? Tank the rest of the year, let the guy sit, and draft that kid out of Tennessee.
You know, the guy that's hurt. Look, yeah, we appreciate the phone call.
Come on, okay. Experiment. Some of the stuff he said, sure, we agree with, but that doesn't mean the experiment's over. Come on.
You gotta let him grow and also get the kid out of Tennessee. One, he turns 25 in January.
Yeah, right.
He's not a kid. Two, he just tore his ACL on Saturday.
I think we're done with the 24, 25-year-old rookies. I think we got one on the roster.
Let's take that eighth-year senior from Northern Illinois while we're at it as well.
Yeah. I think we got Bayless Jones. Holly. I think we got enough of the older senior that comes into comes to the Bears. That's enough with that. Number two, Paulie's not watching the National Football League. Because if he's watching the National Football League, he realizes that there are a number of quarterbacks in this league that can run and that can throw. Yeah, again, this is my issue with our sports society. The idea that a young guy like Justin Fields is learning on the job, trying to be a good quarterback, and because he hurts his shoulder or because it bears a 3-8, now you want to throw him out. That's the problem, is because of shows like the First Takes and the First Things First. You know, these shows that analyze a quarterback that's not even 25 yet, not even in his prime yet, you're already ready to throw him out just because. If you're watching the National Football League, if you're watching Josh Allen, if you're watching Lamar Jackson, others, they're able to get out of the pocket. They're not chained to the pocket, you know, and taking a beating like they did 10, 15 years ago. The game has changed. You got to catch up with everything else, Paulie. It's not the 1970s.
No one can say that he has not improved. If we had seen no improvement, there's no way you can say that. So if it's too slow for you, that's one thing. But at least there's improvement, and we've got almost a half a season left to get even more. So it's way too early to say the experiment is over. A year and a half from now, you know, go through next season, okay, then we're starting to get into an area where, oh, it's like Trubisky. We gave him a shot. It didn't work out. We're not there yet.
I'm not listening to someone telling me that the experiment is over, that Justin Fields is just a running back that can't be a quarterback in this league without more seasoning. How about this? Why don't you put on the jock strap and you put on the helmet and you go out there and try to throw it to St. Brown? You try to throw it to Dante Pettis with him dropping the football and then see what happens. In front of that offensive line. Come on, man. I mean, again, stop just watching the Bears. Watch the National Football League. You cannot do it without talent. You just can't. And so I'm not going to listen to that. Some thoughts from Matt Eberflus now, the head coach for the Chicago Bears. A number of things he said, Jesse. First of all, he talks about Justin Fields and his passing performance. Listen.
It was good. I was really, you know, the shot that he should have hit, you know, just missed Mooney. I mean, that was a well-thrown ball, and that thing was on a rope. And just a couple more steps there, maybe we could have had that one. But I was really, really impressed with that. I mean, the throw he threw to David Montgomery on the side of the scramble, man, that thing was on a dime. That was excellent. Mooney's touchdown. I mean, that was beautiful too. So he had a lot of good plays out there today, and he's just keep growing and growing and growing and getting better and better.
Well, okay, so how about trying to get better and better with that two-minute drill? Let's go back to that. What are his thoughts about that?
No, I'm just telling him what, you know, what my communication to him is. It's simple, is that I'm telling him what the operation of the offense is, meaning you're on the ball or I'm calling timeout, so he knows, okay, and then he rips the call. And then we're in two-minute mode from there. And then when it gets to a certain point, I say, hey, I'm timeout inbounds on the next play. I might tell him that, but we're just operating in our normal two-minute mode.
So he likes what he saw from Fields as far as throwing the football, and you and I have documented this as well. That great catch by Cole Kmet, you know, being able to connect to Mooney, the great throw to Montgomery. Again, it's few and far in between, but there was some really nice throws by Fields. But that two-minute drill, guys, here's what we're hearing. He's a CEO, and he's just going to tell Getsy, all right, I'm going to call timeout here. Now you can call whatever you want to call. I think he's completely hands-off of everything. He's just being able to just say, here's when the timeout is, call what you're going to call.
That's pretty much what he was saying. I think that was the question to him.
Yeah.
What kind of influence do you have on the 2 minute drill, like play calling? He's like, I just call timeout. You know,
Shay, is that is acceptable? I mean, to me, when you are not a defensive coordinator, not an offensive coordinator, and you're just overseeing the operation, so I guess can't you suggest? Is there any things that he wants to see too, or does it matter?
I mean, I get him not wanting to take the bullet there, and like. Maybe Getsy talks on Friday, as he usually does, or Thursday, and we get some more expanded thoughts on what that was. But no, to me, the answer, that's our normal two-minute operation, was unacceptable. Because if that's your normal two-minute operation, to run plays with no timeouts, then your two-minute operation blows.
That's true. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Here I'm going to call a timeout and I'm going to get out of the way. I mean, again, that's one way to do it. That's for sure. But this is what I've been telling you, Jesse. Like, this is why this is going to take a minute for the Bears to be able to be a perennial winner, if they will be, is because everyone's learning together at the same time. You don't have experience at the OC, the head coach, the quarterback, a number of these players as well. So everyone's learning together. This is what happens when you're 3-8.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, I mean, that's about preparation. If Getsy's going to call the plays, then he gets to call them for the whole game, including the two-minute drill. I would assume during this week or the next time this comes up, you have this conversation that running two quarterback sneaks in a row isn't going to get us the chunk yards we need. So I think there's conversations that are had midweek, but it's his call. He's the offensive coordinator. The other guy is not calling plays. Getsy, and that's it. So it shouldn't come down to Eberflus jumping on the headset saying, "Well, don't run quarterback sneaks right now." You know that gets talked about during the week. In all honesty,
I think the flip side of the coin is too. Like, people bring up pocket passing plays haven't worked for this team because pressure gets home so early, and that's 100% true. But if that's the issue, like if you can't even put Justin Fields in a passing position where he has a chance to be successful because he's going to get hurt and he's already out there hurting, then maybe the best thing to do is to not play him, because we've seen enough development, right? We all believe he's the franchise guy. Maybe don't get him killed now that we all believe that.
You know what I'm wondering about, Shay, Jesse, guys? You know what I'm wondering about? I'm wondering what this locker room is like at 3-8. Now, we know what the record is. I know how I'm like, because I don't like to see the Bears lose, even though I know the bigger picture of this team. I was saying, especially early in the season, you got to be able to learn how to win games as a young player. If you're Justin Fields, you want to see the work manifest itself into a victory. And when I look at the rest of this schedule, I'm not sure where the next win is. There will be a win. I'm just not sure when. I just want to wonder what the locker room's feeling like when it's close losses like this.
I would say this. I would think, without having been there or anything, I would think it's probably as good as a 3-8 locker room can be. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have people whispering about Fields like they're doing in New York about Zach Wilson, if that report from SNY is true. You don't have weird reporter exchanges with Justin Fields as you're having with Zach Wilson. So I would say it's as good as a 3-8 locker room can be. That doesn't mean it's great, but it's probably okay, because they know, like we know, this is more about next year and the year after than this year.
I suppose. I just remember Keyshawn Johnson being in studio with us about 3 weeks ago. He was upstairs. He's going to be here in a couple of weeks, by the way, back at ESPN Chicago. And he was just saying, like, you know, no matter what management thinks, we're just trying to win games. But the player is smart enough, as you well know, they know that management's saying we're trying to turn the page for next year. So if we don't win games, it's about next year. But the player doesn't think that way. They don't, Jesse. They believe, hey, even though management thinks that we're not very good and we're going to tank, I want to win. I want to feel good about the work that I'm doing.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. They want the payoff. But they do understand the bigger picture. I think they can do that. They want to win each week. There's no doubt. You're right about that.
I don't want to throw this out there as speculation, but it almost felt like yesterday when you're watching the game, two run plays inside 2 minutes, no timeouts, your quarterback's visibly hurt, whether it's the cramps or the shoulder injury that came after the first run. Doesn't that feel like, hey, let's just lose this one?
They jake the
it
game.
It feels like that, but
I'm not saying that's what they did, right? Because I believe that they're out there trying to win the games. But when you see those play calls, what else are you supposed to think?
Conspiracy, Shay.
Shay, you can't throw the flare and then run.
Yeah, exactly.
Watch it glow, man.
I'm just saying, as somebody sitting at home on the couch yesterday, I texted you live. Yes. Are they trying to get him hurt? Like, you see him go down and grab his shoulder. You can't call another run play. You just can't. And now we might not play next week because he had to get imaging done. Mm-hmm. You can't do that.
Like, we've seen teams in real time tank. We always refer to that Bears Jaguars game where the Jaguars clearly were just putting plays out there to allow the Bears to win, to try to get the number one draft pick. I think that was under Doug Marrone, if I'm not mistaken, right? I believe it was during that time. That's brutal when you can actually you see the empirical evidence of a team trying to tank. But with this thing, when you are just – well, look at it this way. What did we see a week ago, right, against the Lions? Same situation where Justin tried to throw the football, and it didn't work out, and they lost the game. Now to try to run the football doesn't work. So I just think it's just ineptitude. I just think that they can't find a way with 2 minutes or less to get the job done.
But they will. That's the thing. They will. As long as this guy is for real, and he certainly seems like it in a lot of ways, not every way just yet, but they will. I'm not worried about them finishing games. I'm not. That'll come. Getting talent, getting experience, learning how to play the game the right way, though, that's the most important stuff, and getting the high draft pick now.
All right, 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Coming up, an all-time great gets his number retired. We talk about that. And also our Cap and J-Hood cut of the day that's coming up on Chicago's.
This hour brought to you by Twin Peaks. Got an appetite for football? Head to your favorite Twin Peaks and catch all the big games this weekend. Grab a 29-degree draft beer and enjoy the ultimate sports lodge.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Captain Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and on the ESPN Chicago app. So glad you've been with us here on this Bears Monday. If you missed any of our show, including thoughts from Courtney Cronin or Alex Brown, check it out on the ESPN Chicago app. Just click Captain Jay Hood, download that podcast. That way you never miss a moment of our show. Well, I've always said this for many, many years. If you are a franchise that is in dire need of a championship, have Jesse Rogers cover it. And that is the Chicago Cubs, of course, that's Chicago Blackhawks. And so Marian Hossa, and I think I would say one of the all-time greats in Chicago sports as far as free agency is concerned. Someone comes from another team, comes over, wins a cup. I mean, he was honored recently, wasn't he?
Yeah, he retired his jersey last night at the UC. It looked like a lot of his former teammates were there. That first cup that I covered, 2009-10, was just such a great team. Such a great team. And he was so good at everything. He's one of those guys that was simply good at anything. Penalty kill, power play, in his own zone, in the offensive zone, scoring, shooting, passing. One of those complete players. And, man, that was a good signing. You don't always get it, right, in free agency?
No.
But that was a good signing and such a consummate pro as well.
Anything particular that happened with that, with his jersey being retired, his sweater being retired? Anything, any comments that he's made that's been interesting?
Nah, I mean, he's just, you know, he's, I was listening to it a little bit. Nothing stood out to me other than the fact that he's just a pro's pro, right? If you don't like Marian Hossa, you just don't like, athletes, right? There's just no ego about him. There's no me. It's about team. It's about everyone else. So, yeah, he's just the consummate pro. One of the best I've ever been around, that's for sure.
Well, quite frankly, for a team that needs some goodwill, I think that that's a positive.
Yeah.
In the right direction. I mean, Listen, we know over the last, what is it, Jesse, 6 to 8 months, that has not been good for the Blackhawks from a PR standpoint, but I think that that is a positive for sure. People will always remember the Stanley Cup teams and the players on those teams and how the city felt. I mean, no one can BS me to make me think that nobody cared. Many people cared because that was the winningest team. It's still the winningest team that we have seen in recent memory.
Yeah, no doubt. Three championships.
Yeah.
Again, a fun, likable team, and he was one of the leaders of it. I don't think he was captain material necessarily, but he was perfect, like, assistant material. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he was the guy you could still turn to if you need a leader, but I wouldn't call him like the natural born type of leader or whatever the case may be. But he was just great, great at everything. Had that long reach, you know, great defensive player, great penalty killer. One of the best that I've ever seen, to be honest. So, congrats to Mariannosa, retirement. And you're right, they needed something positive after the last, you know, not just 8-9 months, but several years, really. You know, going back to the on-ice product, the off-ice, Edzo leaving, the whole nine yards. So they needed something positive.
Well, I mean, listen, the reason why he was great is because Jesse covered him. Now time for the Cap and Jay Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Yo. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
If that was a different quarterback, it would be hella flags. If that was Tom Brady, Jared Goff, anybody like that, they throwing flags immediately.
Wait a minute. Wait just a second. I like your little flourish there. You say hella what now?
What's hella flags.
Hella flags.
Hey, that's what he said, man. I gotta read the quote as he said it.
All right.
That's professionalism.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Hella Flags, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Delicious. Make sure you talk to Mr. Flom. Ask for Mr. Flom. He'll be right there at your table to help you out. Chicago's Cut Steakhouse. Jesse, it's been a blast as always.
We're about three hours away from USA versus Wales. You'll be all over that, I know, Jay Hood.
Absolutely. I need background noise. So, of course, I'll be taking a look at that with my back turned. And we thank you for listening and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000. Our thanks to you for listening. Thanks for twitching. Thank you, Shay. Thank you, Charlie. And thanks so much for being part of us, part of our show here on this Bears Monday. Back tomorrow at 7 o'clock with Chris Fleck. We hope that you enjoy the rest of your Monday. For Jesse Rogers, I'm Jonathan Hood. Thanks for checking out Bears Monday. Don't forget the ESPN Chicago app. That's where you can get all the podcasts, including Cap and Jay Hood. So long, everybody. From Chicago.